Okay, welcome everybody who is here with us tonight for our Course in Miracles study group and for anybody who is listening later on. We will be reading again from the Sparkle edition of the Course and or the original edition. They're both same text from what we can see so far, just different page numbers. So I'll give us the pages that we're at once we do our opening meditation. So let's just come to silence together for a few moments. Whatever thoughts we notice that keep popping into our awareness, we can just tap into our willingness to hand it all over to the Holy Spirit. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, it will be given. If we need a thought, that will the Holy Spirit also give, and if we need but stillness and a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts we will receive. The Holy Spirit is in charge by our request. So allowing our eyes to open and coming together to our perception of this time and place. Okay, so in the Sparkle edition, we're on in the very beginning of Chapter 1, Miracle Principle number 43. Yes, 43. I was second-guessing myself for a moment. That is page 11 in the Sparkle edition, and in the original edition, it's page 10. And again, for anybody tuning in, this is also, both these editions are available to read online if you happen to have a different edition. All right, I'll go ahead and read section 43, Miracle Principle number 43, and then we can talk about it. Anybody need a minute to get there, or are we good?
I'm good.
Corinne, you said page 10.
In the original edition, it's page 10 or page 11 in the Sparkle edition.
Because I don't see a 43.
Are you in the FIP edition?
I am.
Okay, that's the difference then. That in the beginning, these editions are very different from the FIP edition, so I'm not sure what page is on, but the reading is going to be totally different.
Then I'll listen.
So you can sit back and let me read to you.
Okay.
Or if you want to get to like a laptop or a computer, I could help you get to it online.
No, that's fine. I'll do that the next time.
Okay, great. All right, so number 43. And I'm sorry, Cindy, you're good, right?
Yeah, page 11, please Sparkle.
Great. All right, number 43, a major contribution of miracles is their strength in releasing man from his misplaced sense of isolation, deprivation, and lack. Miracles are affirmations of sonship, which is a state of completion and abundance. Whatever is true and real is eternal and cannot change or be changed. The soul is therefore unalterable because it is already perfect, but the mind can elect the level it chooses to serve. The only limit which is put on its choice is that it cannot serve two masters. The mind, if it elects to do so, becomes a medium by which the soul creates along the line of its own creation. If it does not freely elect to do so, it retains its creative potential, but places itself under tyrannous rather than genuinely authoritative control. As a result, it imprisons, because such are the dictates of tyrants. To change your mind means to place it at the disposal of true authority. The miracle is thus a sign that the mind has chosen to be led by Christ in his service. The abundance of Christ is the natural result of choosing to follow him. All shallow roots must be uprooted because they are not deep enough to sustain you. The illusion that shallow roots can be deepened and thus made to hold is one of the distortions on which the reversal of the golden rule rests. As these false underpinnings are given up, the equilibrium is temporarily experienced as unstable. However, the fact is that nothing is less stable than an orientation that is upside down, nor can anything which holds it that way be really conducive to greater stability. All right, so let's just pause there. So it starts out saying that the major contribution of miracles is that they can release us from our misplaced sense of isolation, deprivation, and lack. So we usually, you know, look to fill those voids with something outside of us. We look to, you know, have a different relationship or fill that lack with, you know, more material things or search for more money. When what this is saying, that all we're really looking for is God, is spirit. And so the miracle is the means by which those things were released from those misplaced feelings. And then it goes on, too, to clarify that our mind cannot serve two masters. So what that means is it can't serve the ego and the Holy Spirit. It's one or the other. So in every single moment, it's a choice between who it is we're going to listen to, who it is that we're going to follow, the ego or the Holy Spirit. So that's how we can choose who it is we are listening to. And then it goes on to say, too, how it says that if we don't freely choose to follow the Holy Spirit and we choose instead to follow the ego, we retain our creative potential, but we place ourselves under tyrannous rather than authoritative control. So that potential then, that always makes me think of how Peace Pilgrim, who was the woman who walked for about 30 years all over, you know, North America, fasting until given food, walking until given shelter, and just trusting that these things would always be given to her. She talked about how there's always a spark of good in everybody, no matter how deeply it's buried, and that when we are willing to come from that place in us to see that in another person, that's where true healing happens, and that's where perhaps somebody who is in attack mode would be disarmed by simply seeing that light within. So this reminds me of that, because it talks about how, you know, even if we choose to follow the ego and we are, you know, and we're sort of blocking out that light within us, we still always retain our creative potential. That light is still always there. We can't put it out. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. And I also really like, too, in the last paragraph, how it talks about all shallow roots must be uprooted because they are not deep enough to sustain you. So again, those shallow roots are what the ego and really what the world brings, whereas and deepening those shallow roots is certainly not the way out. Instead, again, it's about turning ever so slightly to the Holy Spirit. Nothing is less stable than an orientation that's upside down. So we can kind of think of the whole sort of world of, you know, the world and of identifying with our egos as, you know, being oriented upside down. Our perception is literally twisted and nice and messed up. So does anybody have any questions or thoughts or comments about this section?
I can identify I don't know if you can hear me.
Uh-huh.
I can identify with being connected with the ego. I have been in such a place of peace for quite some time.
Uh-huh.
And today I connected with the ego.
Uh-huh.
And I kept questioning, what's going on?
Uh-huh.
And it was that connection with ego.
Yep.
And it just, you know, I knew it, and yet I was able to shift much quicker than I would have in the past. And,
You know, it's funny that you say, oh, I'm sorry, go on.
Well, I had three angels come to my door. There's a little boy that lives behind me that's in kindergarten, and he brought two little girls with him to play on our swing set. I said,
aww.
I really needed to go outside and just have that, energy.
That's sweet. A nice little, a very loving and gentle shift.
Yes.
That's beautiful. It's funny that you say that you have noticed that you've been in a place of peace, and then, you know, here comes the ego again, because I've spoken with, you know, a number of different people, friends and family, and in my own experience, feeling lately kind of like really sucked into the ego, that this has all been feeling very real and almost feeling a lot of resistance to, you know, to turning to the Holy Spirit. And it's funny because that was kicking up again. So I've sort of fluctuated in, I'd say, the past week, and I felt like it started just because I got so sucked into being so busy with a course that I was teaching last week, and, you know, just so focused on it and wanting to do a good job that there I was then doing it by myself, you know, like not asking anymore, just like Corinne has to do this and Corinne has to do it well. And even then through today, feeling that sort of fluctuation of between ego and that willingness again to turn to the Holy Spirit. And I just kept being willing to look at what was coming up for me. And in my case, like the way, what helped me so much is acknowledging that, like, I want this still. Like, I want the world. I want it to all work out. Like, you know, Corinne wants to do it her way. And there was something sort of, I don't know, I guess freeing and being willing to just acknowledge that and look at that with the Holy Spirit. So I've been feeling good in the past couple of hours. Who knows how I'll be feeling tomorrow? But again, that's what being a course student is all about. It's not that we get there and coast, you know. It's that we are going to be fluctuating, and it's a matter of, you know, choosing once again. Over and over and over, perhaps, if we need to. Or I should say, we usually have to over and over and over again, because, you know, our lessons change all the time. Thank you, Carol, for sharing that.
And now I went to Missouri with my son for this past weekend. It was my grandbaby's birthday. Three. There's a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old, and we haven't seen them in almost a year. And, like, just the peace being around them, you know, like, just seeing how they are as kids, you know, and I just enjoyed myself so much. I'm like, I wish I could have this all the time.
Yeah.
They're just so cute, you know, and they do whatever they want to do. And it's all right, you know, and it was just really, really comforting, you know, to be around that again. I've been stressed out so much for a while, and just to be around that, it was just a big breather.
Yeah, definitely. They're so in the moment and so, you know.
They're just doing what they feel like doing, you know, and you know, I got to, like, calculate everything and, you know, and plan everything. I got a list and this and that, you know. They just pick up and go, you know.
Yeah, right. That's a nice change of scenery, I'm sure, and company.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Be a kid again, right?
Reminds me of that story. I think I've shared this before about, and I don't know where this was written, who said this. It was just always a story that stuck with me about a mom who overheard, you know, there's, I guess, maybe a really, really young child and then maybe another child, the sibling who's you know, maybe like 4 or 5, and the 4 or 5-year-old goes into the baby's room and is like, you know, whatever the sibling's brother or sister's name is, the kid says, "Hey, tell me what God feels like. I'm beginning to forget." And I just, that's always stuck with me about, you know, children perhaps remembering that oneness. And of course, it's something,
right,
that's what the Course is here for us to remember how to do also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right, I'll read, the next couple are short, so maybe I'll read a few. Let's do number 44. So miracles arise from miracles arise from a miraculous state of mind. By being one, this state of mind goes out to anyone, even without the awareness of the miracle worker himself. The impersonal nature of miracles is because the atonement itself is one, uniting all creations with their creator. Number 45, the miracle is an expression of an inner awareness of Christ and the acceptance of his atonement. The mind is then in a state of grace and naturally becomes gracious, both to the host within and the stranger without. By bringing in the stranger, he becomes your brother. Number 46, a miracle is never lost. It touches many people you do not even know, and sometimes produces undreamed of changes in forces of which you are not even aware. That is not your concern. The miracle will always bless you. The miracles you are not asked to perform have not lost their value. They are still expressions of your own state of grace, but the action aspect of the miracle should be Christ-controlled because of his complete awareness of the whole plan. The impersonal nature of miracle-mindedness ensures your grace, but only Christ is in a position to know where grace can be bestowed. And I'll read one more. Number 47. Miracle-mindedness means miracle readiness. Readiness means that you should always keep your perception straight so that you will always be ready, willing, and able. These are the essentials for listen, learn, and do. You must be ready to listen, willing to learn, and able to do. Only the last is involuntary because it is the application of miracles which must be Christ-controlled. The other two, which are voluntary aspects of miracle-mindedness, are up to you. All right. So I love in these passages how it talks about miracles go beyond ourselves to touch other people, other, you know, I guess, animals. It even talks somewhere in here about, I'm trying to remember the exact quote, but it has to do, you know, with I believe it's miracles and, you know, as we accept them for ourselves, a bird somewhere with broken wings begins to sing. So there's these, we can't even comprehend the shifts and changes that occur when, you know, we are experiencing those miracles and turning to the Holy Spirit within. It's beyond things that we can just see, you know, immediately in our own little world. So I love that, how it says, the miracle is never lost. It touches many people you do not even know and sometimes produces undreamed of changes in forces of which you are not even aware. How cool is that?
Mm.
I did experience what I felt was a miracle. A couple days ago, I was with someone who I've had a lot of conflict before in the past, and it was a very good time that we spent together. And then towards the end of our time, I brought something up and got a response that did sort of elicit my defensiveness. I felt myself getting a little, you know, a little upset, a little irritated, but I knew at this point with this particular person that I just didn't, there was no need in going down that path of you know, attack and defense, because I knew where it was going to go. So I did feel in that moment willingness to bring it to the Holy Spirit instead. And a few hours later, after the person left and we were, you know, no longer together, I was just thinking about it, and I was thinking how if I, my little insight, and this isn't going to sound as profound as it felt to me, because I just got it on that, again, that experiential level, that if I am alert to, you know, this person, the Course says, you know, your brother's errors, if I'm alert to the things that I think this person is doing wrong, or, you know, if this person is inappropriate in some way, if I am seeing that, it's because I am seeing through my own ego. So again, it totally comes back to me, and I just got it. Like, I just felt like it was such a wonderful teaching learning situation for me in terms of learning that, you know, what I'm seeing, if I'm seeing those errors, if I'm feeling critical or judgmental or, you know, defensive because of something this other person is doing, it's literally because I think I'm Corinne, and I'm seeing through Corinne's eyes and thinking with Corinne's thoughts and judging, you know, with Corinne as well. So it was just a really, and in that experience, in that recognition that if I'm seeing those errors, it's because I'm in my own ego. The miracle that happened, the shift that happened, was just this, again, this release of the negative feelings and the peace flowing in again, and just feeling like, what an awesome teacher this person is for me. So that was my little miracle of the week.
I sit next to this girl at work, and she just irritates me a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what is it that bothers me about her? You know, 'cause I work with a lot of people, but it's just her. Maybe because she's sitting right next to me. I don't know, but I can't figure it out. But mm-hmm. but I am thinking it's something about me.
right. It always is.
You know, it's irritating me. You know, and I'm going, you know, I can't figure it out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
She bugs me so much.
Yeah, interesting. And that's where, like, again, approaching it however, wherever we're at, you know, like however it's great that you're looking at it. For me, going to that, like, you know, super deep, hardcore place of saying, okay, like, you know, if I'm kind of like the story that I just shared, like if I'm seeing something I don't like, you know, it's because I'm thinking I'm Corinne, or you're thinking you're Cindy. And so, you know, let me take it back again to me, to my mind, that this is coming from me, and have that little tiny bit of willingness to hand it to the Holy Spirit. It's
yeah.
Coworkers and family and some of our biggest challenges, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And also, for me, appreciation. If there's one small piece of something that I can find in a person, if I can focus on that, that piece gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And
what you see, what you're focused on, is literally what you see. I have another good example of that. Thank you so much for sharing that, because the course that I was teaching had a component to it of nutrition, you know, eating right, stuff totally, you know, on the world's level. And part of what we covered, because I had an actual nutritionist come in along with a bunch of people who have actually changed their health states, like diabetes and things like that, all from changing their diet. And so we talked about obesity a lot and just how, you know, with eating processed foods and just the rate of obesity and all these, you know, other statistics. And I happened to be last weekend up at the Seaside Heights Boardwalk, you know, where the, unfortunately, the MTV show Jersey Shore was filmed. But anyway, and I, because I was looking for, you know, like, I mean, think of boardwalk food. You know, there's the churros and the candy apples and, like, you know, pizza and everything is, it's not light eating. Ice cream cones, like, it's also delicious. But I, because I had it in my head just about, like, you know, the American diet and how we eat and obesity, I was seeing it everywhere. Like, I literally, I felt like that's all that I was seeing. And, of course, not everybody, you know, was in poor health. There were people there who weren't. But because that was the mindset that I was coming from, that's really what I was seeing. And I you know, I noticed what was happening. But thank you, Carol, for sharing that, because you're right. What you focus on is going to grow.
Yeah, thank you. I know also when you were talking about miracles, a week ago I had made a decision for the last two summers I've taught for this six-week program. And this year I really didn't want to do it, and then there were things that came up that came in my path that said it's just not a good time to be doing that. Mm-hmm. And so I was real hesitant about letting it go for a lot of different reasons, some financial, some thinking, you know, okay, I've halfway committed, but, you know, I didn't sign a contract or anything. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I had to do this, and I mean, the deadline was coming up. And I talked to a couple different people at different times just in conversation, and both of them said, you don't really want to do this. And I sort of mm-hmm. looked at them surprised. I don't know why, but surprised. And I made the decision to send out an email, to make a call, and I did all of this a Monday morning, last Monday morning. And I felt so free after that. Mm. I was literally walking to Red Bank to my yoga class, and I got a text message from my daughter saying that she had received a scholarship.
Oh, wow.
And it was like $1,000 more than I would have made this summer.
Mm.
And I thought, thank you. I mean, it was just so affirming. So
wow.
Affirming that it was the right thing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, it was within an hour that this
uh-huh.
happened.
That's really cool. A tangible perception of a right choice. That is a really nice reinforcement. Beautiful. Congrats to your daughter.
Thank you. I think I got tripped up today and looking for more of that rather than releasing and knowing, like you were reading earlier about we don't know, sort of like
right,
the ripple.
Right. Yeah, that's a beautiful point, that perhaps sometimes we will have that tangible perception, that reinforcement in, you know, our awareness, our field of awareness, but then other times we're not going to know. And that doesn't mean that the miracle has lost its effects or anything. Like you said, it's about just trusting. Yeah, and when we look for it too, when we're expecting it, or when we're specifically looking to form, you know, for that reinforcement, a lot of times too, it's just like an internal feeling of that reinforcement that we're, you know, doing the right thing or whatever, because we're feeling that peace again.
What does the Course say about that, Corinne, as far as, you know, when you're looking for that tangible reinforcement, and it doesn't feel like you're getting it?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me is that the Course says all over the place, do not believe the picture, meaning don't look out there into the world for, you know, for the answers, for the reinforcement. Don't look there. Like, it's always about going within and turning to the Holy Spirit and learning how to use again. We read, I guess, 2 weeks ago about the spiritual eye, which really is the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing, but how, you know, we've sort of shut that spiritual eye. We've closed it. And so what we're doing, it's internal. You know, at times there can be shifts in what we see, but it is a lot of internal work that we're doing. So remembering to not look out there, and instead just to, you know, keep taking it to the Holy Spirit. And then a lot of times that shift might come in, again, as an internal experience, that how the Course talks about, we just read it. Let me just put my thoughts together. It was in Miracle Principle number 47. Miracle-mindedness means miracle readiness. Readiness means that you should always keep your perception straight so that you will always be ready, willing, and able. These are the essentials for listen, learn, and do. You must be ready to listen, willing to learn, and able to do. And it says the first two, being ready and willing, is what we're responsible for, but being able is how those miracles are Christ-controlled, it said. So that kind of makes me think of this, that it's just our task, rather than to, you know, look out there, it's just about being ready to listen, again, having that willingness to turn to the Holy Spirit. That willingness is the next step, to learn, to be guided, to be led, and then just sort of, you know, releasing the rest. And it does say in the Course, too, I think it's actually coming up. It's in Miracle Principle 48, how here in the Course, Jesus, or again, if you're not comfortable with the term Jesus, you know, you can always substitute a different symbol, but Jesus is saying here, that he is alert to the revelation readiness of my brothers. So if we are constantly focused on, you know, being willing to turn to the Holy Spirit, being ready and willing, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the universe, whatever you want to call it, is alert to our revelation readiness. So when we are focused on, you know, it's the truth that we want, it's, you know, that experience perhaps, that's when those revelations come, those moments that are really hard to put into words, because they're an experience. They're an experience that comes from beyond us. So that might be that reinforcement then, which is completely, you know, personal. It's not necessarily something that we'll see with the body's eyes. So does that answer your question? I kind of rambled.
No, it does.
Okay. I like that, how it says that, you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, is alert to the revelation readiness of my brothers. So it's just our task, again, to focus our minds on you know, that willingness that we have. Cool. Well, how about we read? Let's read that one, 48. That's where I stopped, right? Yeah. Okay. Awe is an inappropriate response to miracles. Revelation is literally unspeakable because it is an experience of unspeakable love. Awe should be reserved for revelation, to which it is perfectly and correctly applicable. It is not appropriate for miracles because a state of awe is worshipful. It implies that one of a lesser order stands before a greater one. This is the case only when a soul stands before its creator. Souls are perfect creations and experience awe only in the presence of the creator of perfection. The miracle, on the other hand, is a sign of love among equals. Equals cannot be in awe of one another because awe implies inequality. It is therefore an inappropriate reaction to me. An elder brother is entitled to respect for his greater experience, and a reasonable a reasonable amount of obedience for his greater wisdom. He is also entitled to love because he is a brother, and also to devotion if he is devoted. It is only my devotion that entitles me to yours. There is nothing about me that you cannot attain. I have nothing that does not come from God. The main difference between us as yet is that I have nothing else. This leaves me in a state of true holiness, which is only a potential in you. No man cometh unto the Father but by me is among the most misunderstood statements in the Bible. It does not mean that I am in any way separate or different from you, except in time, which does not really exist at all. Actually, the quotation is more meaningful if it is considered on a vertical rather than a horizontal axis. Regarded along the vertical, man stands below me and I stand below God. In the process of rising up, I am higher. This is because without me, the distance between God and man would be too great for you to encompass. I bridge the distance as an elder brother to man on one hand and as a son of God on the other. My devotion to my brothers has placed me in charge of the sonship, which I can render complete only to the extent to which I can share it. This may appear to contradict the statement, I and my Father are one, but there are still separate parts in the statement in recognition that the Father is greater. There, and then in parentheses it says, the original statement was, are of one kind. The Holy Spirit is the bringer of revelations. Revelations are indirectly inspired by me because I am close to the Holy Spirit and alert to the revelation readiness of my brothers. I can thus bring down to them more than they can draw down to themselves. So I'll pause there because that was kind of a long one. So again, it's saying basically that the only time that's really appropriate to experience awe is really towards God, towards creation, that Jesus here is saying that awe is actually inappropriate for him because he's just simply an elder brother and that there's nothing about him that we can't attain. And I love how it says, he says, I have nothing that does not come from God. The main difference between us as yet is that I have nothing else. So if you think about that, how many things have we put between, you know, us and God, or us and love, if we word it that way. This is how the Course is saying that we've put so many blocks in between love and our awareness of it. And Jesus here is saying he just doesn't have any of those. He doesn't have any of those blocks. That's the only difference between us. So this leaves him in that state of true holiness, which is still only a potential in us. And yet again, because this is where that sort of mind-bending piece of the Course comes in. Even though it's only potential in us, this is, you know, the Course is saying that this is all a dream and done already. So it's actually, you know, we are already whole. So that's kind of different levels that it's talking about here. But, yeah. I also really like towards the end where it says the Holy Spirit is the bringer of revelations, and how we already talked about how Jesus is saying that he's alert to the revelation readiness of his brothers, because he can bring down more to us than we can draw down to ourselves because of all those blocks that we have put up. My belief in Corinne definitely being one of those blocks. So if we get hardcore with this, it's even, you know, again, this block of this belief that we are these bodies, which isn't actually true. So that to me was just, I don't know, I really like that section. I find it comforting.
Yeah, it is.
Shall we keep reading?
Sure.
Go for number 49. The Holy Spirit is the highest communication medium. Miracles do not involve this type of communication because they are temporary communication devices. When man returns to his original form of communication with God, the need for miracles is over. The Holy Spirit mediates higher to lower communication, keeping the direct channel from God to man open for revelation. Revelation is not reciprocal. It is always from God to man. The miracle is reciprocal because it involves equality. And I'll read one more, number 50. The miracle is a learning device which lessens the need for time. In the longitudinal or horizontal plane, the recognition of the true equality of all the members of the sonship appears to involve almost endless time. However, the sudden shifts from horizontal to vertical perception, which the miracle entails, introduces an interval from which the doer and the receiver both emerge much farther along in time than they would otherwise have been. The miracle thus has a unique property of shortening time by rendering the space of time it occupies unnecessary. There is no relationship between the time a miracle takes and the time it covers. It substitutes for learning that might have taken thousands of years. It does this by the underlying recognition of perfect equality and holiness between the doer and the receiver on which the miracle rests. We said before that the miracle abolishes time. It does this by a process of collapsing it and thus abolishes certain intervals within it. It does this, however, within the larger temporal sequence. It establishes an out-of-pattern time interval which is not under the usual laws of time. Only in this sense is it timeless. By collapsing time, it literally saves time, much as daylight saving time does. It rearranges the distribution of light. I'm trying to think of an example because I've experienced this sort of sense before of kind of time being, you know, how it says miracles collapse time. And I think we all have, and I'm not having an example come to mind at the moment, but this is literally saying that, you know, when we chose to enter this state of separation, the ego wrote its script. It wrote its script for, you know, this experience of separation. And as we turn to the Holy Spirit and ask for those, you know, experiences of miracles instead, we're, again, turning back toward the truth in all of us. And what this is saying is that as we do that, we're learning the lessons that we need to learn. And so the miracle then perhaps substitutes, our choice for the miracle means that perhaps then, you know, we don't need to go through something that the ego wrote in its script because we're choosing for spirit instead. So something how it says in here, you know, it would have taken us 1,000 years to learn on our own because we are turning to the Holy Spirit and working in the way that the Course is teaching us, it's actually collapsing time. We don't, you know, we don't have to go through certain things. You know, we end up skipping over certain experiences or lessons because we just don't need to go through them because of the way that we are practicing the Course. In the interview with Nuke Sanchez and Kenneth Bach, we've talked about this before on some of the calls, and she talks about this, how, you know, all religions are really, and spiritual practices are eventually going to get us there. The Course is different in that the Course is about saving time. So it's like, you know, the fast forward path to enlightenment, because we're going to get there sooner by practicing in the way that the Course is guiding us to. So it's that there are in fact many ways to the same place, but this one is just going to save us time. And the thought of saving thousands of years and not having to go through, you know, certain ego script things, which I'm sure, you know, aren't necessarily going to be the easiest of experiences, that sounds darn good to me. So I'm not sure if that makes sense about, you know, time being collapsed. If anybody has any questions, please do throw them out. But yeah, I feel like that's a pretty cool thing that the course is helping us with.
I feel like in the last couple of weeks, I've sensed that with things coming together on one plane,
mm-hmm.
you know, more so than usual,
mm-hmm.
you know, things
mm-hmm.
falling into place.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It is definitely that sense of things falling into place. And also, I guess another way that I've experienced it too is a lot of times I've thought, like, it seems like we go through so much, like our lives in a sense have almost been sped up, so our lessons, you know, change every day. There's different things that happen every day. Like think even just about how much the pace of life has quickened since, you know, 100 years ago. There's just a lot more that we're dealing with on a daily basis, so it's almost like things have sped up in a sense. And so with feeling like those multiple lessons are coming, I guess that's the sense too that I've had of just time being collapsed. And the course does talk too about the celestial speed up. And yes, to go back, Carol, to what you said with things, that sense of things just sort of falling into place, being easy, I think that definitely touches it.
Today was not, I mean, I can appreciate the difference, because today I felt like I was very outer focused.
Mm-hmm.
And with that came, I guess, things slowed down to pretty much a halt.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great example. I feel like I can totally relate to that too, of being so outer focused and feeling like just a sort of heaviness, you know. It does seem to go by much slower. Yep. All right. You know, that might actually be a good place to stop for tonight, because the next one, number 51, is like about 3 pages long.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking, rather than rush through that one, we can maybe start there next week. Oh, so any other thoughts, anything that's been going on this week that anybody would like to share or talk about? Or are we good?
I'm good.
Okay. Great.
I'm good too. Just been very busy.
Yeah, I know.
The time has gone by real fast. So.
It is. It is. I don't remember where in the book it talks about the celestial speed up, but perhaps I feel like that's earlier on. We'll see. I'll look it up and maybe we'll be reading that soon.
Well,
it'll fit right in.
Thank you very much, Corinne.
Thank
you so much, both of you, and we'll be back next week.
All right, good night.
Okay, have a good week.
Good night.
Goodbye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.